Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, back at a Chukri Show, hanging out at Kia Studios with you, halfway home on this Friday evening, headed toward vacation. Two more hours, anyway. 404-726-0929. Mike Soroka did come out for the sixth inning, so 6 innings, 5 hits, 3 earned runs, no walks, 7 strikeouts, did give up a couple of homers, finished with 98 pitches, so... A good, efficient night at the ballpark, and obviously he's going to get the win because the Braves aren't blowing an 8-run lead to the Miami Marlins, for God's sakes. So we'll see what happens there. So we'll keep you up to date about all this going on. Matt Olson, by the way, has not one but 2 homers. So at this rate, he's on pace for 56 homers this year. The Braves franchise record, I believe, let me make sure I've got this right, but I believe it's Andrew's 51 homers. I think that's the all-time for the Atlanta Braves. I think that's even, or not just for the Atlanta Braves, but I think the all-time Braves mark is 51. Let me see. Top 10 single season batting. Let's see here. Who's got the most home runs? I believe that is correct. And it is Andrew Jones with 51. Do you think that Matt Olson breaks it, Day-Day? Do you think Matt Olson breaks?
You said he's at how many now?
20, he's at 28.
28?
Yeah. Andrew in
at
2000,
the halfway point?
Andrew in 2005 had 51. That's the only 50-homer season by a Braves player. Do you think that he ends up breaking the single season record? I think he does.
I say yeah. I mean, he's already, again, we're barely at the halfway point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he does it.
Yeah, again, with that lineup around him, with all of those guys that are around him, again, you can't pitch away from anybody. You can't pitch around anybody. I mean, even the 8, you know, again, we've talked about 7, 8, 9. You can't pitch around any of those guys. Because they'll wallop you too. And obviously, RC has been fantastic this year. Been a guy that's hitting for average, getting on. I mean, you can't pitch around anybody. It's not like that there's an open spot in the lineup where somebody's just not doing anything. Their lineup is outstanding this year. Like, I'm going to run the numbers as to what the Braves, you know, are at this point. But I think Olsen breaks the record. I think he hits at least. I think he hits 52 or more homers, and sets the Braves franchise record. So, but he's had a monster season, and he's cleaned up all kinds of RBI. They're just sitting right there. Again, even Riley, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. 26% of his at-bats have runners in scoring position. Every one out of four that he comes up, he's got at least one of those at-bats that has somebody in scoring position for him to collect an RBI. So it's just crazy how good all of this lineup has been. And obviously, good sign for Soroka. I mean, look, was he completely dominant? No. But, I mean, 7 strikeouts, no walks in 6 innings. A couple of the mistakes that he made on the home runs. But, again, I'll take that. Literally, I'll take that every time out. That's a quality start in today's modern-day baseball. I'll take that, you know, all the time. So, it's all good in Braves country here. We're talking about these NBA contracts. I'm just looking at some of these guys, some of the money that these guys are getting. The Van Vliet deal, 3 years.
The biggest right now.
3 years, $130 million. It's just crazy. I'm still trying to see what what kind of contract that Cam Reddish.
You said he got 2 years, though,
he got
right?
2 years with the Lakers. Yeah, he got 2 years with the Lakers. I'm still trying to see what kind of contract that he's got, because there's just money just being poured into. And this was the first day for free agency. So this was the official opening of free agency. And just kind of crazy, the number of money. I just reading some of the quotes about DeJounte Murray. Look, I don't know that he's going to get max money, but is DeJounte Murray going to price himself out of the Hawks' plans? Like, if they're hesitant to stay in the luxury tax now, isn't he going to be a $30 million player? I'm not saying 40, but isn't he going to be a $30 million player?
Yeah, I would think so.
So if that's the case, if that's your second biggest contract, I mean, you think that they are, you think they're willing, you think this Hawks team, you think this Hawks franchise is willing to pay a guy $30 million a year, even if it is DeJounte Murray? I don't think they are. I don't think they're looking at adding a $30 million player to their roster.
You know, honestly, I don't think they're going to spend that kind of money this year. They're big money. I think.
Well, you've
got to
decide by summertime because, again, there's no way you can let him walk, right?
No.
Like, there's no possible way that you can allow him to go to free agency and just let him walk. Either you have to give him a contract, and again, the new CBA, while it allows you to give a guy a contract that's bigger than the last CBA as an extension, it's not as much money as free agency. Mm-hmm. Like, you're better to go to free agency and get a bigger deal in free agency.
Yeah.
But again, if he doesn't have a contract, then I mean, what if the Hawks play? There's Sean Murphy. Just again, he almost hit it out of the ballpark. It seemed like. Let's say they're the number 3 seed in the East, okay? And DeJounte does not have a contract in place when the trade deadline hits. Let's say they're a top 3 seed in the East. What do you do?
Yeah, at that point you kind of have no choice, right?
I think you have to ride it out. I think you have to.
And let him go to free agency?
I can't trade him away. If I'm the top 3 seed in the East, I can't give up the idea of making a run at an NBA championship. And again, I don't know that we're an NBA championship team, but if we're a top three seed in the East, you have to figure we're pretty damn good. Mm-hmm. We're a really good team. I can't trade him at that point. I understand not getting anything back for him, but if we're that good in the East.
No, that's why I said you at that point, you don't have no choice but to go ahead and just.
Yeah, bite the bullet and just
lock him in.
Just hope that you can either sign him or that, you know, again, I don't know what. I mean, that you win a championship. I mean, maybe if you win the NBA title, then that's a different discussion. And maybe he takes a little bit less or whatever to stay with a championship caliber team. But again, if they get let's say they're a top three seed in the East and they don't pull the trigger on a deal and they get knocked out in the first round again, then what? Then where are you? Then where are you with all of that? I don't that's the quandary that, you know, this team, this franchise finds itself in. Because, again, you want to give DeJounte Murray as much chance to succeed at this thing as you possibly can, but can't afford to have guys like him just walk out the door and, you know, not get anything for them. You know, so, I don't know, it's a tough scenario, but that's why we said, I mean, there's all kinds of rumors about whether or not he's going to get moved or this or that or whatever, but I don't know. I mean, you would figure that he's got here's let me see where this guy with this guy. So the managing editor of Peachtree Hoops, who Brad Rowland runs all that deal, says have to imagine the Van Fleet deal is a rough benchmark for the DeJounte Murray deal in 2024, who I'd imagine sees himself as just as deserving of that deal. But again, I don't think DeJounte is a $40 million a year player. I could see him being a $30 million a year player, though. I don't think he's a $40 million a year player. I think he's a $30-plus million a year player. I think he's every bit a $30 million a year player in today's NBA. And is that automatically priced the Braves out of it? Or, sorry, the Hawks out of it? I don't know. I mean, it's just crazy to think about, you know, where it's crazy to think about the direction that this franchise is going, right? I mean, we have a lot of optimism, but, you know, are we financially going to get ourselves into some big time money? And is it worth it? Does this organization look at, you know, luxury taxes? Okay, we're not good enough to be in the luxury tax, and we keep trying to find that magic elixir of when it's the right time to be in the luxury tax. I don't know. I mean, those are decisions that they're going to have to make, and maybe they're easy decisions in some ways, because if Tony Ressler says I'm not doing it, then he's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. You can talk about all your contingency plans and all these other things, but if they're not going to do it, they're not going to do it. They're not going to get themselves into this thing at some point. Then where are we going to be as a franchise? There's no way that you can have a supermax player and a $30 million a year guard and other players on your roster and not being a luxury tax team. Like, that's not possible. You know, Miami can do it because they don't even have a max guy, or they don't even have a super max guy. We have a super max guy on our roster. It's costing 44 or some odd million dollars a year. And we have, you know, multiple $20 million a year players on our roster. You know, Bogey's, what, $16 million a year to come off the bench. Just crazy to think about. So, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be tough decision-making for the Atlanta Hawks. When I keep watching the Braves game and keep seeing the Braves, but it's going to be a lot of hard decisions for the Atlanta Hawks, because this DeJounte Murray thing is just not an easy thing to try to do. If I'm the Hawks, I give him the biggest extension contract offer that I can, right? Based upon the new CBA. I give him the max extension number that's available to them, right? I give him that number, and let's see where he's at. Let me gauge where he's at and see if, okay, I can I have a chance that if he gets to free agency, that I'm the number one contender for his services, right? That I'm the guy who's the number one contender for him to be here. Because again, if you look at, he's going to walk out. Look, this may be if the Hawks stink, this will be an easy decision to move on from Murray, right? That'll be an easy decision to make if they stink. But if they're good, that's where it gets to be a little bit dicey.
Yeah, because now the other part of that too is, now what is Quinn going to want? Because if they're good, and it's largely in part because of the play of DeJounte Murray, Quinn's obviously going to want to keep him. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean,
so now, you know, you got Quinn's voice. You know, you got Ressler's decision about whether or not he wants to spend that money and get right into the tax. So now it gets murky if they do play good, and it's mostly largely in part because of the contributions of DJ. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if they're a top three seed in the East, that means Murray and Trae Young are balling out.
Mm-hmm.
That they're the best backcourt in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
If that happens. And then you're going to give him $30 million? I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. All right, when we come back, it'll be time for That's Life. The next round of strikes is set to happen, actually, in just a few hours. And we'll get to our top 10 as well. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 910 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles, as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Radio 92.9 The Game. Back at it, Chuck Reese Show. 921 live from the Kia Studios. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. The Odyssey app saw you catch us on the go. Social media at 910 The Game. At JMSH316 on Twitter. He's at the D. Lewis for real on Twitter. Rank him coming up at 1040. So an hour and 20 minutes from right now. Day-Day, there's been this rash of people at concerts that are becoming unruly. So we talked about this about a couple weeks ago or whatever, when Bebe Rexha had a phone thrown at her and had to have stitches around her eye. Then, really like a few days later, Ava Max, who's like a pop superstar, and I really like Ava Max.
I'm very familiar with her.
She had an audience member come up on stage and slap her.
Yeah.
Then recently, this Kelsea Ballerini, she had a bracelet thrown at her face. And did you see Pink? You know, Pink, the pop star?
Yeah, she had something recently, too. Wasn't it like a week ago?
Some woman threw her mother's ashes at her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the hell is wrong with people?
Oh, man, these people are losing it, man.
Now, they're trying to blame it on the pandemic and all this. Okay, here's my theory, okay? People don't look at celebrities as real people in a lot of ways. And when Will Smith could walk up to Chris Rock and just slap him across the face, it didn't, I mean, as it was so crazy and over the top that that could happen, that I think that emboldened people to do things that
crazy
are going to make
things.
Them famous. Yeah, that are going to make them famous. And I hate to say it that way, but I mean, again, what do we talk about on Tic Tac and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
We always talk about Tic Tac and these stupid things that people do. People are looking to be famous.
Yep, and they're doing stuff.
Right, and they're doing stupid stuff. That guy even said that when he threw that phone at Bebe Rexha, he thought it would be funny. What was funny about throwing a cell phone that caused stitches? Like, what's funny about that? Dude, if I saw the person who did that, I would have gone out there and beat their ass.
Well, I was going to say, he's lucky her security didn't jump down there and knock him out. So,
I mean, it's just, it's crazy, but I really do think that there's this rash to be famous, and people feel like, and they saw Chris Rock get slapped on live now as a shoot.
Yeah, well,
wasn't a work.
Yeah.
He got slapped for real.
Well, because you can get instant gratification for your actions now.
Right. And why are they like slapping and throwing things at women? I could even understand some of the guys, but they're like, dude, like, what did Bebe Rexha ever do to you? What did Ava Max ever do to you? It's just crazy. But people, again, here's what it comes down to. People are nuts. People are nuts, okay? Have you seen this, these lack of negotiations with SAG? You know, people that are in Hollywood are members of SAG, right? The Screen Actors Guild.
Yeah.
And I guess that there are huge differences between SAG and the NFTRA. And they said that there could be a strike as soon as Saturday if no deal is reached. Obviously, the Writers Guild, you know, the writers are on strike right now.
That strike is still going on, yeah.
So the writers are on strike now. Well, now we could be having the Screen Actors Guild on strike as well. And then if that happens, then nothing's going to happen.
Right.
There ain't going to be anything.
Nothing's getting produced. Nothing.
There's not going to be any TV shows, not going to be any movies, nothing. You can't have the writers and the actors and actresses and everybody involved on strike and think that anything's going to happen. So they said most TV production in the U.S. has already been shut down to the writer's strike. But film production and international TV production would have to be stopped as well. So again, we may not get any entertainment. You may be stuck listening to me for entertainment.
Well, you know what's probably going to happen? You're going to have, you know, certain, you know, celebrities, whatever, that feel like they can kind of bankroll their own situation. And you've got like that channel, I guess it's Tubi. I've never watched it, but apparently like there's like a lot of, you know, super low budget things on there that people are producing themselves.
So it's called Boobie?
Tubi.
Boobie.
But I think you'll start to see a lot of that start to happen, you know, if this goes in. Because people, who's going to just sit around and not do nothing? Okay, maybe some of the super duper paid actors and whatnot, but some people, they got to still try to, you know, make some income.
There's a definite faction of people that they have to work.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that they still have to find a way to earn a living, right?
So
not everybody's J-Lo.
Right,
I mean,
exactly.
Yeah.
So they'll take money out of their own pocket and put something together.
And they'll put it on Poopy or whatever.
Yeah, and get the streaming revenue, yeah.
Right. And they'll have Poopy and they'll have a stream with it anyway. Hey, RIP to the great Alan Arkin. And
I saw that.
Yeah, did you see that?
MASH, right? MASH, right? Alan Arkin?
No.
I'm thinking of Alan Alda. Yeah.
Yes. So Alan Arkin has been in a whole bunch of movies. I think he was an Academy Award winner. I loved him in Glengarry Glen Ross. He was one of the salespeople in that movie.
Okay, I didn't see that one.
Have you never seen Glengarry Glen Ross? Oh, my God. You got to see that movie. You got to see. That movie is very fat. It's about an hour and a half. It's based upon a play. It's a fantastic movie. Fantastic.
Oh, that's my guy that played the Minion. He was in the Minions. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't seen them. I know what the Minions are. I've seen Despicable Me.
Right.
But I haven't seen all the Minion movies. And Draws, former WWE, former pro football player, former professional wrestler for the WWE. What was he part? Was he part of the Headbangers? Was Draws part of the Headbangers? He was at one time. He was in the Legion of Doom. Remember when Hawk?
When
Hawk was kind of fighting some of his personal demons and stuff.
Yep.
They brought Draws in to be part of the Legion of Doom. And remember in that movie, Wrestling with Shadows, that's the guy that Vince tries to get to puke in that bucket on camera. He got D'Lo ended his career, right? I mean, did he paralyze him? I think he basically paralyzed Draws. D'Lo hit
him.
A frog splash or something that went awry, and he paralyzed Draws, and he was a quadriplegic for the rest of his life.
Yep.
Well, now RIP to Draws. But I remember him in the Legion of Doom. And then I remember that Wrestling with Shadows moment where he was, you know, like Vince asked him to puke because he could puke on cue or whatever like that.
Yep.
And Vince with the over-the-top call, he's puking. Anyway, so. But RIP to Draws, I should say. But I thought he was one of the Headbangers. Maybe I'm wrong about all that. I do remember him in the Legion of Doom, but I thought it was he was in the Headbangers for all of that. Anyway,
was
he a headbanger?
Let me see.
That was 8-Ball and Skull.
Yeah,
that was 8-Ball and Skull were the Headbangers.
Yeah, they took on the Headbangers. They fought them in the Capital Carnage pay per view.
There you go.
Yep.
All right. We heard obviously that all the personalities. I mean, there's so many 20-something personalities that were let go from ESPN. And so many great people that, again, the David Pollocks of the world and guys like that, Jeff Van Gundy, guys that are really entertaining that have been a part of that network that let go. Susie Colbert, Steve Young, what have you. So tonight's top 10 list, your top 10 favorite all-time ESPN personalities. Day to the floor is yours.
All right, no particular order for me, but I will save my top for last. Mm-hmm. Dan Patrick.
Yep, I got him on my list.
Hannah Storm. Okay. I've been a fan of Hannah since, remember when Ahmad Rashad used to have the NBA show way back in the day,
yes,
and Hannah was part of that?
Yes.
I've been a fan of hers.
And actually, a friend of mine, Kristen Ledlow, does the Inside the NBA show nowadays.
Okay, I didn't realize. I think I kind of realized it still came on, but it doesn't really, it's not like it was back then.
No. It's a different kind of deal.
Yeah. Tom Jackson, and I really like Tom Jackson on my list too. I have Chris Berman, but it's the two of them together that I just, Berman by himself, nothing against him, but when those two are together.
Tommy.
Like their interaction, their, like we talk about the mat chemistry with wrestlers,
pretty good.
John Saunders. I know he's not on his. I think he kind of does that weekend show now that he hosts. I think it's like one of those Sunday morning.
Wait, isn't he dead?
John Saunders? Did John Saunders pass?
I thought he died.
I thought he was still doing like one of those shows on the weekend.
Hold on. Go ahead.
All right. So I'll keep going. Steve Levy. I do like Steve Levy.
Okay.
Scott Van Pelt.
Yeah, he died in 2016.
So, okay. I didn't realize
he's not.
I thought he was still doing.
So he's not doing a whole lot of TV right now.
My bad.
I don't know why I
thought he was still doing a show.
I don't think he's doing a whole lot of TV shows right now. I could be wrong. Tupac has made more money and more albums since he's been dead. So maybe John Saunders is doing more TV.
I don't know
now.
Why I thought John Saunders.
He was John Saunders is great on the sports reporters. I mean that's his gig.
You know what? I'm thinking of, and it's not John Saunders I'm thinking about. I'm thinking of the other guy. He's pretty good, but John Saunders, I really did like John Saunders.
He's
I'm
a Canuck. John Saunders is. Yes.
Really?
Yes, he was a Canadian.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Yeah, he sure did.
Yeah.
All right.
And now he's dead.
Yeah. Chris Fowler. I do like Chris Fowler. Linda Cohen, and then my all-time favorite, Stuart Scott. Rest in peace.
Yeah, Linda Cohen is fantastic. I got Linda Cohen on my list as well. Bill Walton. I mean, that's where he cut his teeth and is obviously one of the great personalities of all time. Lee Corso, Dick Vitale. Again, they have been hugely influential. Yep. Say what you will about them now at this stage of their career.
Come on.
But Dick Vitale and Lee Corso are as important to collegiate sports as anybody in the country.
Yes.
Barry Melrose. I love Barry, and I love
Barry's
listening to him talk hockey. Like, I think he's fantastic on those hockey broadcasts. You know, and again, he's a walking gimmick, too. I mean, he's got all the suits and, you know, the ties and everything like that. Stuart Scott is certainly on my list. Dan Patrick, I said, is on my list as well. Look. And I'm not going to put Chris Berman on my list. Hey, Tommy, they're pretty good. The best show in ESPN history, though, the single best show ESPN has ever done was NFL Primetime, 7-9 on Sunday night when there wasn't an NFL game on Sunday.
Yep.
7-9, 2 hours. It was Chris Berman and Tom Jackson, and Berman would have the fun, but Tom Jackson would play a little bit long, but he gave the great, and it was just those two guys. It wasn't 50 guys on a show. It was Tom Jackson and Chris Berman, just those two, 2 hours of NFL highlights.
It was great.
That was the best, that's the best show ever on ESPN.
Yep.
Those two guys with no football on Sunday night, no other gimmicks, nobody else, you know, piling around and all this kind of stuff. That was the best show ever on ESPN. I put Mel Kiper on the list because, again,
I started to put Kiper on.
You know,
he's good.
He's a kook, but
yeah,
I mean, he's entertaining, and I love what he does. And look, there's a reason why the NFL. I'm not saying that he's the reason why the NFL draft was. But he's had a big hand in making the draft a spectacle.
Right.
And that's what it is a spectacle.
Yep.
And he's been a big part of all of that. And I think one of the more underrated personalities of all time for ESPN, Charlie Steiner.
Yeah.
Who, again, when he would crack up on air, It would just, it would be infectious, right?
Right.
And you couldn't help but stop laughing. Right. And the funniest thing ever, ever, is they did that USFL 30 for 30. And they talked to Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so funny. He's like, yeah, I hired Charlie Steiner. He was a nobody. He was an idiot. You know, he was a loser. He was a nobody. It's so funny the way he talks about Charlie, because he hired Charlie Steiner to be the play-by-play guy for them. And then again, you know, Charlie Steiner, when Vin Scully was, you know, nearing the end of his broadcasting career, Charlie Steiner took over for him. He, mm-hmm. Charlie Steiner did all the road games and stuff like that for Vin Scully. But Charlie Steiner, I think, one of the more underappreciated, you know, he's the Kenan Thompson of ESPN,
right.
Like underrated. Yeah. So Charlie Steiner on my list as well. Hit us up with your list as well. Chuck, we're here. We're going to listen to what Justin Toscano had to say, Braves beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, up next. Chuck, we're in the Kia Studios. Sports Radio, 9 to the game, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show. Coming to you live on this Friday evening is, well, lots of Braves news as they've been red hot as of late. Three All-Star starters, and we'll wait to see more Braves as they make their way onto the All-Star team. A lot of good news going around, and of course they take on the Florida Marlins, who are also hot as well. This is arguably two of the hottest teams in Major League Baseball. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to our buddy Justin Toscano. He is the Braves beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. AJC.com is where you can check out all of his work, and he's on Twitter at Justin C. Toscano. Justin, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes tonight on the show.
Yeah, of course, John. Thanks for having me, man. Happy to be back.
Let's talk about the All-Star game. I mean, look, Orlando Arcia has been one of the great stories in all of Major League Baseball. But I can tell you, I don't think that anybody had on their bingo card that he was going to be the starter for the National League All-Star. What an accomplishment, and what a great year it's been for Orlando Arcia all the way around.
Yeah, man, this is one of the best stories in baseball going right now, and the Braves could have another one with Bryce Elder in a few days, but you just look at Orlando Arcia, right, from February to now, in terms of he comes into spring training, and everybody's talking about Vaughn Grissom, everybody's talking about, well, maybe they should have brought back Dansby Swanson as well, and fans were saying, well, I wish the Braves spent on Trey Turner, I wish they at least spent on Xander Bogaerts, I wish we were in play, maybe there was a trade to be had with Willy Adames, over, you know, in Milwaukee. Orlando Arcia hit, not only won the job, but he's come in and shut all of that up, for lack of a better phrase. Like, he has, I mean, offensively, I think he's given them, I knew the Braves thought he had more in the bat than he's shown to this point in his career, and that he swung it well last year and in spring training. But I don't think anybody could have expected this type of offensive production. And really, when he was hurt and you saw Vaughn Grissom come in, and this is nothing against Grissom, he's just a young player, we've seen the difference between a seasoned shortstop like Orlando Arcia and, you know, younger shortstops. He's got, you know, the seasoning. He's got great hands. I mean, he's not fast on the bases. He's not fast speed-wise, but he's quick. He's nimble. He makes every movement you need to out in the field. He's just been sensational, and I think this has got to be one of the best stories in baseball going right now for a guy who, like I said, man, like everybody just overlooks him. Everybody figures, well, he's not going to be the answer. Well, the Braves have Orlando Arcia, and, you know, they had mentioned him in the offseason, but I think everybody assumes, well, it's going to be Vaughn Grissom. He's got the upside, or they'll make a trade, or what if they spring for one of the top four, you know, the big four shortstops that made a lot of money this winter. And Orlando Arcia has really just validated the Braves' faith.
You know, Justin, I'm curious, you know, in conversations that you've had with him and such, you know, is it a matter of embracing the opportunity? Is it just a general enthusiasm that he has about being an everyday player? Or, you know, maybe could it even be a little bit of a chip on his shoulder? Like, what's the read that you get from him about what he's been given here with this opportunity?
Yeah, the read I get from talking to him and, you know, through interpreter Franklin Garcia is just really he hasn't mentioned, and I've asked, but he hasn't, you know, he's kind of shied away from talking about the chip on his shoulder. And, like, I'm not saying he's lying, but it's got to be there to some degree, right? Like, he's got to have known, like, that everybody thought, you know, hey, he's just his backup, and, hey, it should be, you know, anybody else but him. And he probably heard, you know, the talk, like, hey, the Braves can't go in without, you know, Orlando Arcisi. Headlines, tweets, videos, everything on social media, whatever, us talking on the radio, what be it. I mean, you would have to think that the shift factored in. But I think the main thing in talking to him and other people was just the consistent opportunity, right? Like, I think so much of this game is about projecting who is going to pop when you give them that opportunity. And I think he's one of those guys. He always, you know, everybody talks about, well, he's going to be exposed after, you know, he gets 100 at bats. Well, he's only played six innings at shortstop. And he was sitting behind Dansby Swanson. I mean, a Gold Glover who had last year a six WAR season, I think it was. And so in talking to Orlando, I really just think it's the opportunity, because the things he told me are that he's doing the same work. I know he made some sort of swing change in the last few years, but that's helped him swing the bat. You know, he's swinging the bat better than everybody thought he could. But in talking to him, my read is that it's just the opportunity, like the chance to play every day and show what you could do. And I think so much of that is you have the juxtaposition between how Grissom looked at the position when he played here for, you know, about 3 weeks or a month. I think it was 3 weeks. And then how Arcia has handled the position. And I think it's kind of night and day, honestly. And I think you're seeing the value of Arcia. And I think he just, on an everyday basis, has gotten to show everybody his value with not only the defense, but the slow heartbeat and the consistent clutch hitting and just everything he's done. But look, like, he hasn't mentioned, you know, I think he's mentioned, like, he's motivated in general, but hasn't mentioned, like, wanting to prove the doubters wrong or anything. But you would have to think there's got to be a little something of that, right? Like, he's human. Like, I would have to think that there's no way, especially these days, there's no way players don't hear the noise. Like, I just simply won't believe that. I guess I'm not calling him a liar. I'm just saying, like, you know, I think he's probably a little shy about talking about that, or just opts not to. But I think it's mostly those everyday opportunities.
Justin Toscano, Braves beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk about Michael Soroka. He makes his return to the rotation tonight and is going to get the start.
Yeah.
Look, you know, I've said this, barring injury or barring just catastrophically bad results, I mean, is it time to just let Soroka stay up here, work his way through some things? You know, again, he's proven before that he's a very good major league pitcher, and he was excellent a few years ago. And I know he's coming back from all the injuries, but at some point, you have to just kind of let him feel his way through it and just get his sea legs underneath him. Do you think he's here to stay now at this point, or are they still going to kind of, you know, do that Partridge Family bus of shuttling players back and forth with him?
Yeah, I like how you described that. I would have to think that this is the one where they feel comfortable with him being here to stay. I mean, granted, I guess there's no other option. I mean, if they lined it up, I mean, if they wanted to, they could have had Alan Winans start, make a spot start, see what he had. If they wanted to, they could have had Dylan Dodd, but Dylan just hasn't pitched well down there in AAA. I think this has got to be, you know, this is probably the time where they want to see Soroka over a couple starts before the break. And you know, and if he looks good, then have him be part of the rotation, especially because, like, was he great in his first stint? No. But I think recently what you've seen is, like, Jared Schuster, you know, didn't have much swing and miss. You know, he was good. He was serviceable. Like, he was still getting the job done. But I think this is the time, especially after Soroka gives you, you know, 3 earned runs over 19 innings across those 3 starts since you set him down. I think this is the time he's probably earned a couple starts up here to kind of maybe not even work through things, because he knows he's not up here to work through things, but he's earned, you know, some leeway of, you know, 3-4 starts. That being said, you know, you never try to bet with Alex Anthopoulos. You just don't know. I mean, in terms of, like, you know, what they're truly thinking or what will happen, because they do play the roster game in a very smart way and shuttle guys up and down when they need them and put guys in, you know, put themselves in the best position to succeed. So who knows? But I would think at a certain point, you know, they've always said, and like, I know that, you know, they don't want to yo-yo him. That's exactly what they didn't want to do. What happened last time is what they don't want to do. I would think they don't want to do that again, especially because he pitched well in AAA. I just think that this has got to be the time where maybe he gets a little bit of runway here if he pitches well in these last two starts, you know, these two starts before the break. You also have AJ Smith-Shawver to think about, considering his, you know, his send down wasn't, you know, really about performance as much as it was just needing like an extra arm up. But I would have to think this is kind of Soroka's time to cement himself. I guess that being said, the Braves have made it clear with every move they've made this season with that rotation that, like, they're not going to wait on anybody. If you don't give them the best chance to win, they'll move on.
Justin, I mean, obviously Ronnie is, I believe he's the clear-cut favorite to win National League MVP as of right now, and it's not really even a close race. But I will say, you know, Matt Olson, he's on pace to, you know, set the franchise record for homers. But could a case be made that Sean Murphy is a top five MVP candidate across the league? I mean, his value to this team has been extraordinary. And again, now that he's gotten out of Oakland Alameda Coliseum and actually getting a chance to kind of thrive, we've seen how good an offensive player he is. I don't see any reason why you wouldn't have Murphy in your top five as far as MVPs go.
Right. No, I think a case can be made for sure, like, especially because the injury he did have, he missed about a week. And so he missed like six games, I think it was, five games, whatever it turned out to be, six. I just think that with Murph, what he's given you is more offense than he ever has in his career. And then this is tough because, like, some MVP voters don't take this into account. I would if I voted on that award. And, like, defensively, he's just been so important, right? Mm-hmm. In a year where the staff hasn't had Kyle Wright, in a year where they haven't had Max Fried, in a year where they've shuffled injury after injury from the bullpen, you know, especially early on. I mean, I just think defensively, like, the work he's done with the pitching staff shouldn't go unnoticed. That's a huge part of being a catcher. And then offensively, man, I mean, yeah, like you said, dude, Ronald Acuna is up there. He's a clear-cut favorite. Matt Olson's doing what he does. But Olson's also got a ton of strikeouts, and he will tell you that, too. He's still producing runs, but I think when you look at the entire package of Sean Murphy, offensively and defensively, I think he's got to be top five. I mean, his OPS has been over 900 pretty much the entire season. And for a catcher who prides himself on elite defense, that's incredibly rare. Like, that's JT Realmuto stuff. You know, and in this case, even better. I mean, so I would make that case and feel pretty comfortable doing it, honestly. Like, I don't think that would be a reach just because he's given you, you know, pretty much all you could ask for in terms of the elite defense, especially in the midst of the new rules where it makes controlling the running game harder. And then he's given you a pretty deep offensive profile in terms of, like, the OPS is there. Like, the homers are there. You know, the power numbers are ticking up because of his home ballpark. You know, the OPS plus, weighted runs created plus, you know, the extra base hits, all of that is there. Plus, what tells me that he's having an outstanding offensive season, too, is, like, I feel like his average exit velocity is up there, and it feels like he's hitting a lot of balls hard. I think he's got a very deep portfolio this season to this point. I would make that case that he's top five. I mean, heck, if not top four, depending on how you want to parse, you know, Freddie Freeman and all those other guys who would be in that tier after Ronald Acuna and Luis Arraez.
Last question for you, Justin. I was here in 2003. I didn't think I'd ever see an offense for the Braves that was as good as that team. I mean, Javi and Sheffield and Andrew and Chipper playing left. That was a juggernaut offensively. This team is on pace to still score about 900-plus runs, and maybe they could catch the 2003 Braves for most runs in the 20th century part of Braves baseball. This lineup is so deep, and this team is so good. You know, this lineup doesn't feel like there are any holes, and you never get a night off from this lineup. lineup, no matter what part of the order that you're facing, it always seems like somebody is coming through for this team.
Yeah, I know. It's insane. I did something today in my newsletter about looking at the historical comparison for offenses who have had a June where they've hit at least 300 with a 915 OPS or above, and then offenses who had a month like that since 1901. I mean, offenses that have had a June like that, the Braves are one of seven teams, and it's happened less than 30 times in history for any month since 1901. So, I mean, it just tells you how good they've been. And really, like, we look at this, like, I know at this point June is a large fraction of the season, but we look at this like everybody's talking about a hot month. They've been the best team in baseball offensively the entire season. Mm-hmm. Like, even when they weren't swinging it as well in April, they were still up there, top five. And it really makes you think about kind of the growth they could have when, you know what I mean, you look at the numbers of runners in scoring position, and before a couple weeks ago, they weren't great. They were like 26th with runners in scoring position, their numbers. I mean, they were bottom third in all those categories. I mean, I think this is the best offense in baseball, and I honestly, like right now, I don't think it's particularly close, just because other teams, you know, go on these heaters like this. But with these guys, it feels so real just because you have the depth from 1 through 9. Like, and you've got this year, I think this is the difference, right? This year you've got Marcelo Zuna hitting, Eddie Rosario is hitting, and Orlando Arcia is providing probably better production than Dansby Swanson did, if you look at how Dansby kind of leveled off after that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus from Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show. Coming to you live on this Friday evening is, well, lots of Braves news as they've been red hot as of late. Three All-Star starters, and we'll wait to see more Braves as they make their way onto the All-Star team. A lot of good news going around, and of course they take on the Florida Marlins, who are also hot as well. This is arguably two of the hottest teams in Major League Baseball. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to our buddy Justin Toscano. He is the Braves beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. AJC.com is where you can check out all of his work, and he's on Twitter at Justin C. Toscano. Justin, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes tonight on the show.
Yeah, of course, John. Thanks for having me, man. Happy to be back.
Let's talk about the All-Star game. I mean, look, I don't. Again, Orlando Arcia has been one of the great stories in all of Major League Baseball. But I can tell you, I don't think that anybody had on their bingo card that he was going to be the starter for the National League All-Star. What an accomplishment, and what a great year it's been for Orlando Arcia all the way around.
Yeah, man, this is one of the best stories in baseball going right now, and the Braves could have another one with Bryce Elder in a few days, but you just look at Orlando Arcia, right, from February to now, in terms of he comes into spring training, and everybody's talking about Vaughn Grissom, everybody's talking about, well, maybe they should have brought back Dansby Swanson as well. Fans were saying, well, I wish the Braves spent on Trey Turner. I wish they at least spent on Xander Bogaerts. I wish we were in play. Maybe there was a trade to be had with Willy Adames over, you know, in Milwaukee. Orlando Arcia hit, not only won the job, but he's come in and shut all of that up, for lack of a better phrase. Like, he has, I mean, offensively, I think he's given them. I knew the Braves thought he had more in the bat than he's shown to this point in his career, and that he swung it well last year and in spring training. But I don't think anybody could have expected this type of offensive production. And really, when he was hurt and you saw Vaughn Grissom come in, and this is nothing against Grissom, he's just a young player, we've seen the difference between a seasoned shortstop like Orlando Arcia and, you know, younger shortstops. He's got, you know, the seasoning. His hand, he's got great hands. I mean, he's not fast on the bases. He's not fast speed-wise, but he's quick. He's nimble. He makes every movement you need to out in the field. He's just been sensational. And I think this has got to be one of the best stories in baseball going right now for a guy who, like I said, man, like, everybody just overlooks him. Everybody figures, well, he's not going to be the answer. Well, the Braves have Orlando Arcia, and, you know, they had mentioned him in the offseason, but I think everybody assumes, well, it's going to be Vaughn Grissom. He's got the upside. Or they'll make a trade. Or what if they spring for one of the top four, you know, the big four shortstops that made a lot of money this winter? And Orlando Arcia has really just validated the Braves' faith.
You know, Justin, I'm curious, you know, in conversations that you've had with him and such, you know, is it a matter of embracing the opportunity? Is it just a general enthusiasm that he has about being an everyday player? Or, you know, maybe could it even be a little bit of a chip on his shoulder? Like, what's the read that you get from him about what he's been given here with this opportunity?
Yeah, the read I get from talking to him and, you know, through interpreter Franklin Garcia is just really he hasn't mentioned, and I've asked, but he hasn't, you know, he's kind of shied away from talking about the chip on his shoulder. And, like, I'm not saying he's lying, but it's got to be there to some degree, right? Like, he's got to have known, like, that everybody thought, you know, hey, he's just his backup, and, hey, it should be, you know, anybody else but him. And he probably heard, you know, the talk, like, hey, the Braves can't go in without, you know, Orlando Arcia. Headlines, tweets, videos, everything on social media, whatever, us talking on the radio, what be it. I mean, you would have to think that the shift factored in. But I think the main thing in talking to him and other people was just the consistent opportunity, right? Like, I think so much of this game is about projecting who is going to pop when you give them that opportunity. And I think he's one of those guys. He always, you know, everybody talks about, well, he's going to be exposed after, you know, he gets 100 at bats. Well, he's only played six innings at shortstop. And he was sitting behind Dansby Swanson. I mean, a Gold Glover who had last year a six WAR season, I think it was. And so in talking to Orlando, I really just think it's the opportunity, because the things he told me are that he's doing the same work. I know he made some sort of swing change in the last few years, but that's how he swing the bat. You know, he's swinging the bat better than everybody thought he could. But in talking to him, my read is that it's just the opportunity, like the chance to play every day and show what he could do. And I think so much of that is you have the juxtaposition between how Grissom looked at the position when he played here for, you know, about 3 weeks or a month. I think it was 3 weeks. And then how Arcia has handled the position. And I think it's kind of night and day, honestly. And I think you're seeing the value of Arcia. And I think he just, on an everyday basis, has gotten to show everybody his value with not only the defense, but the slow heartbeat and the consistent clutch hitting and just everything he's done. But look, like, he hasn't mentioned, you know, I think he's mentioned, like, he's motivated in general, but hasn't mentioned, like, wanting to prove the doubters wrong or anything. But you would have to think there's got to be a little something to that, right? Like, he's human. Like, I would have to think that there's no way, especially these days, there's no way players don't hear the noise. Like, I just simply won't believe that. I guess I'm not calling him a liar. I'm just saying, like, you know, I think he's probably a little shy about talking about that or just opts not to. But I think it's mostly those everyday opportunities.
Justin Toscano, Braves beat writer for Atlanta Journal-Constitution, joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk about Michael Soroka. He makes his return to the rotation tonight and is going to get the start.
Yeah.
Look, you know, I've said this, barring injury or barring just catastrophically bad results, I mean, is it time to just let Soroka stay up here, work his way through some things? I, he's proven before that he's a very good major league pitcher, and he was excellent a few years ago. And I know he's coming back from all the injuries, but at some point, you have to just kind of let him feel his way through it and just get his sea legs underneath him. Do you think he's here to stay now at this point, or are they still going to kind of, you know, do that Partridge Family bus of shuttling players back and forth with him?
Yeah, I like how you described that. I would have to think that this is the one where they feel comfortable with him being here to stay. I mean, granted, I guess there's no other option. I mean, if they lined it up, I mean, if they wanted to, they could have had Alan Winans start, make a spot start, see what he had. If they wanted to, they could have had Dylan Dodd, but Dylan just hasn't pitched well down there in AAA. I think this has got to be, you know, this is probably the time where they want to see Soroka over a couple starts before the break. And you know, and if he looks good, then have him be part of the rotation, especially because, like, was he great in his first stint? No. But I think recently what you've seen is, like, Jared Schuster, you know, didn't have much swing and miss. You know, he was good. He was serviceable. Like, he was still getting the job done. But I think this is the time, especially after Soroka gives you, you know, 3 earned runs over 19 innings across those 3 starts since you set him down. I think this is the time he's probably earned a couple starts up here to kind of maybe not even work through things, because he knows he's not up here to work through things. But he's earned, you know, some leeway of, you know, 3-4 starts. That being said, you know, you never try to bet with Alex Anthopoulos. You just don't know. I mean, in terms of, like, you know, what they're truly thinking or what will happen, because they do play the roster game in a very smart way and shuttle guys up and down when they need them and put guys, you know, put themselves in the best position to succeed. So who knows? But I would think at a certain point, you know, they've always said, and, like, I know that, you know, they don't want to yo-yo him. That's exactly what they didn't want to do. What happened last time is what they don't want to do. I would think they don't want to do that again, especially because he pitched well in AAA. I just think that this has got to be the time where maybe he gets a little bit of runway here if he pitches well in these last two starts, you know, these 2 starts before the break. You also have AJ Smith-Shawver to think about, considering his his send down wasn't, you know, really about performance as much as it was just needing, like, an extra arm up. But I would have to think this is kind of Soroka's time to cement himself. I guess that being said, the Braves have made it clear with every move they've made this season with that rotation that, like, they're not going to wait on anybody. If you don't give them the best chance to win, they'll move on.
Justin, I mean, obviously Ronnie is, I believe he's the clear-cut favorite to win National League MVP as of right now, and it's not really even a close race. But I will say, you know, Matt Olson, he's on pace to, you know, set the franchise record for homers, but could a case be made that Sean Murphy is a top 5 MVP candidate across the league? I mean, his value to this team has been extraordinary. And again, now that he's gotten out of Oakland Alameda Coliseum and actually getting a chance to kind of thrive, we've seen how good an offensive player he is. I don't see any reason why you wouldn't have Murphy in your top 5 as far as MVPs go.
Right. No, I think a case can be made for sure, like, especially because the injury he did have, he missed about a week. And so he missed like six games, I think it was, five games, whatever it turned out to be, six. I just think that with Murph, what he's given you is more offense than he ever has in his career. And then this is tough because, like, some MVP voters don't take this into account. I would if I voted on that award. And, like, defensively, he's just been so important, right? Mm-hmm. In a year where the staff hasn't had Kyle Wright, in a year where they haven't had Max Fried, in a year where they've shuffled injury after injury from the bullpen, especially early on. I mean, I just think defensively, like, the work he's done with the pitching staff shouldn't go unnoticed. That's a huge part of being a catcher. And then offensively, man, I mean, yeah, like you said, dude, Ronald Acuna is up there. He's a clear-cut favorite. Matt Olson's doing what he does. But Olson's also got a ton of strikeouts, and he will tell you that, too. He's still producing runs, but I think when you look at the entire package of Sean Murphy, offensively and defensively, I think he's got to be top five. I mean, his OPS has been over 900 pretty much the entire season. And for a catcher who prides himself on elite defense, that's incredibly rare. Like, that's JT Realmuto stuff. And in this case, even better. I mean, so I would make that case and feel pretty comfortable doing it, honestly. Like, I don't think that would be a reach just because he's given you, you know, pretty much all you could ask for in terms of the elite defense, especially in the midst of the new rules where it makes controlling the running game harder. And then he's given you a pretty deep offensive profile in terms of, like, the OPS is there. Like, the homers are there. You know, the power numbers are ticking up because of his home ballpark. The OPS plus, weighted runs created plus, the extra base hits, all of that is there. Plus, what tells me that he's having an outstanding offensive season, too, is, like, I feel like his average exit velocity is up there, and it feels like he's hitting a lot of balls hard. I think he's got a very deep portfolio this season to this point. I would make that case that he's top five. I mean, heck, if not top four, depending on how you want to parse, you know, Freddie Freeman and all those other guys who would be in that tier after Ronald Acuna and Luis Arraez.
Last question for you, Justin. I was here in 2003. I didn't think I'd ever see an offense for the Braves that was as good as that team. I mean, Javi and Sheffield and Andrew and Chipper playing left. That was a juggernaut offensively. This team is on pace to still score about 900-plus runs, and maybe they could catch the 2003 Braves for most runs in the 20th century part of Braves baseball. This lineup is so deep, and this team is so good. You know, this lineup doesn't feel like there are any holes, and you never get a night off from this lineup. No matter what part of the order that you're facing, it always seems like somebody is coming through for this team.
I know. It's insane. I did something today in my newsletter about looking at the historical comparison for offenses who have had a June where they've hit at least 300 with a 915 OPS or above, and then offenses who had a month like that since 1901. I mean, offenses that have had a June like that, the Braves are one of seven teams, and it's happened less than 30 times in history for any month since 1901. So, I mean, it just tells you how good they've been. And really, like, we look at this, like, I know at this point June is a large fraction of the season, but we look at this like everybody's talking about a hot month. They've been the best team in baseball offensively the entire season. Mm-hmm. Like, even when they weren't swinging it as well in April, they were still up there, top five. And it really makes you think about kind of the growth they could have when, you know what I mean, you look at the numbers of runners in scoring position, and before a couple weeks ago, they weren't great. They were like 26 with runners in scoring position, their numbers. I mean, they were bottom third in all those categories. I mean, I think this is the best offense in baseball, and I honestly, like right now, I don't think it's particularly close, just because other teams, you know, go on these heaters like this. But with these guys, it feels so real just because you have the depth from 1 through 9. Like, and you've got this year, I think this is the difference, right? This year you've got Marcelo Zuna hitting, Eddie Rosario is hitting, and Orlando Arce is providing probably better production than Dansby Swanson did. If you look at how Dansby kind of leveled off after that, you know, throughout the first half, I just think that there's really no breaks. And yeah, like that 2003 offense is always the one that kind of gets mentioned. They had a few great months in 2006, but I like this is, I mean, you I don't think we're extending here by saying this offense could go down as, like, the best in history, right? I mean, just from the numbers.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And the crazy part is Riley's not had one of those hot streaks yet. Michael Harris is just getting hot. I mean, you know, it's – I mean, they've had injuries to their lineup as well. I mean, so through all the bumps and things like that, they've emerged as, you know, the best, you know, in the National League. So Justin Toscano is the Braves beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Join me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. AJC.com is where you can check out all of his work. Follow him on Twitter, at Justin C. Toscano. Justin, as always, buddy, appreciate the time. Thanks so much. We'll talk again here soon.
Yep, always a pleasure, John. Thanks so much.
You got it. John Chuckery, we'll be back. Sports Radio 929 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This NBA season, every shot you take with Fanatics Sportsbook puts points on the board. Earn up to 10% fan cash on your bets, win or lose. So even if your bet misses, you're still scoring fan cash, which unlocks exclusive rewards like authentic apparel, game tickets, and meeting legends at Fanatics events. Make the switch and turn every bet into a bucket with Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-522-4700. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.